Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the next episode of the City Confessions. Today, it's going to be such a juicy episode. I just have a feeling. And I'm so excited to be welcoming Lucia Fuchsia. She is a fabulous New York City drag queen. So with that being said, let's just dive in. Hi, Lucia. How are you?
Hi, I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. I am just so excited to be here. Thank you.
You don't understand. I'm so excited to have you. I feel like you are just, I don't know. I haven't even met you, but just speaking with you and like your vibe, I'm here for it.
Thank you. I'm ready to give you all the stupid answers and give you all of the tea and drama of the New York City club scene. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. So why don't we begin by having you introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell us who you are, what you do, and what your relationship is with New York City.
Yeah. Well, my name is Lucia Fuchsia. My out of drag name is Julianne Bloom. And I am a New York City drag queen. I host a competition currently on Tuesdays. And on Fridays, we do a show called Rainbow. I have been a performer here in New York City for about 3 years now, and have been taking it like full time for like the past year and a half now. And yeah, I mean, I have a very interesting relationship with New York City because I'm one of those rare people that are like originally from New York City. Like I grew up here, lived here, and I've been here throughout my adult life as well. So New York City is very, very, very important to me, as well as it's important to my job, because I've done drag in other cities before and I've performed other places, but nothing really compares to New York City and the just like eclectic energy that New York City has. So New York City means so much to me. I was in LA for a little while, and like now that I'm back, it's like why would anybody want to be anywhere else other than New York City? It's the most magical place ever. So yeah, that's me. That's who I am.
No, I love that because I am also a native New Yorker, and you are totally right. I didn't know how rare that was until I want to say the last maybe 2 years, because I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't want to say all my friends are New Yorkers, but I have a lot of friends who are also born and raised here. But as you meet more people, it's rare because people dream of coming here. So like, how lucky are we to have this be part of our just upbringing and home?
Totally. It's incredibly. It's incredible, actually. Like, you can go outside your front door and be immersed in just everything and anything. And I feel like I take it for granted sometimes. Especially when I was a kid, you can literally go right outside your front door and see literally everything. It's crazy. And it's also so funny because I love when people are like, oh yeah, I'm from New York, but they're from like New Paltz or like Westchester. I'm like, listen here, be very careful when you say you're from New York City.
But no, that's really funny. That's how you know you're a true New Yorker. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I just feel like us, like, city New Yorkers, I feel like we are, like, very, 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 very hardworking. We're very, like, business-minded as well, because for us that have, like, grown up in New York City, it's, I've gotten the comment many times when, like, when I tell people that I'm 22 years old, most people don't believe me, because I've like, been living on my own for a long time, and I'm the type of person that goes out and, like, asks for what I need. And I feel like we have a sense of maturity because we've been like we grew up in like such a kind of crazy city, honestly, that's surrounded by everything. So Yeah, I mean, it's just New Yorkers, we're just kind of badasses. Long story short, we're just kind of badasses.
No, that is so, so true, because I feel like we are raised to be very independent at a very young age, and you can't survive without having thick skin. Like, it's a city that's just very tough, and if either you go with it, right, and you kind of develop that strength and courage and that kind of bluntness that we New Yorkers have, or you just leave. Like, you can't either make it or you don't, right? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But I'm so curious, how did you get into drag? Like, do you remember that one moment where you were like, either I'm really intrigued by this, you know, this new industry, this world, and then what made you decide to actually be a part of it?
So drag has always been very interesting to me, and I've always wanted to be immersed in the culture, but didn't really know how to. I was underaged. I was very young. I went out to boarding school in Connecticut, so I wasn't really in the city for a lot of high school. But I always really wanted to get into the scene, but didn't really know how to. So the summer after I graduated high school, I started going out to parties. I started going out, and I was like hosting parties with like Suzanne Barsh, Lady Fag, parties like On Top at Louvain, and I was a club kid, as the kids say, just hosting these parties week after week, not really doing drag, but just kind of doing, I don't know, looks, you know, and just watching drag from afar, I think, and observing it at these parties, seeing people like, I would be hosting parties with like Amanda Lepore, Linux, and like Bojangles, all of these people that are very much in the scene, I see week after week after week, and I would just stand there and take notes. I would just take notes on everyone and just kind of piece together what I wanted to do based off of like what these other entertainers like are doing and presenting. And slowly but surely, I just kind of started being able to piece it together, and Lucia Fuchsia was kind of born. And since then, I think my like real moment where like, oh yeah, I'm doing drag, I think that was I did a performance at a bar called The Vault, which unfortunately doesn't exist anymore. And it was a show that Mother Teresa produces, and it's a show called Pulpix. And I remember I was able to do a guest spot, and I did a performance for like 20 drunk people in like a cellar in Bushwick, and at like 3 a.m. And I was like, this is it. I've made it. So, I mean, drag is so funny because it's like, it's just, you never know how you're going to find your way. But I mean, lucky enough, I was able to kind of learn from the best. I got a lot of help from Suzanne Barsh and Amanda Lepore and those people. And yeah, it's kind of, it's been a whirlwind, honestly.
I'm so curious to know about the whole process. So if you can describe Lucia Fuchsia in like 3 words, what would that be? What is she like? And walk me through a night when you perform, like literally through the whole process of getting there, doing makeup, hair. Do you have a specific, I mean, I'm assuming like a routine. Do you change it up every now and then? Like, tell me everything that goes through the head. I'm so, so curious.
Yeah, so a few words I can describe Lucia is I am very colorful, I'm very bright, I'm very, I kind of say what I want to say. I'm pretty witty, I'm a little shady. All of the things that I usually wouldn't be when I'm out of drag, I'm able to do and be when I'm in drag, because I use my drag as like an armor of sort to help myself feel more like myself. So honestly, Lucia brings out the best parts in me, and maybe the worst parts, but that's not for me to decide. I'm very, very outgoing, very just wanting to party, love just being around people, which again is not me out of drag. but the journey of getting in drag and getting together and getting ready. It's ritualistic at this point. I'm lucky enough that I've been able to get it down to a math, but like from about like a year and a half ago, from start to finish of like getting in makeup, getting in hair, getting in costume, and getting out the door, it used to take me 3 hours to get ready. And it would be just hours and hours and hours of just like trial and error of trying to do makeup and trying to figure out what pieces of clothing get together. And, yeah, it would just take so long. But now that I am having to do this as my full-time job, I can, it takes about like an hour and a half, from start to finish. So it's a lot of makeup, it's a lot of shaving hair off my face. It's a lot of putting pads on and trying to go with whatever the theme is of the night. But honestly, now that I'm able to like focus on drag as kind of my full job at this point, it feels so much better because it doesn't feel like a task. It feels just like I feel like I'm able to put everything I have into it, and I can enjoy the process a little more. It's not stressful anymore. It's very fun. I always get to the one point in getting ready where I'm like, wow, okay, there I am. You know, there she is. It's mm-hmm. It's an hour and a half in, but it's always a very fun moment where I'm just like, okay, here we go. Like, I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, hearing you say that, it reminds me of that quote, you know, something along the lines of if you wake up doing what you love, you don't really feel like you're working. And that really seems like what it is for you. Like, you are truly so passionate about drag, and how lucky are you, right? To be able to do that, to live out your passion and really come to life when you perform. So I also wanted to know, throughout your career thus far, what has been your proudest moment and quote unquote like highlights? I know you're still obviously young and thriving, but do you remember like a specific moment or a show that you did where you just felt on top of the world?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually very recently. So I've mentioned this before, but I'm gonna mention it again. I'm currently hosting a drag competition in Bushwick, and it's called the Fabulous Mixed Medal. And we're currently on the second season of our competition. But I think my most, like, my proudest moment of just feeling so emotional and so happy and so proud was the finale of season one for our competition. It was season one, we only had five competitors, and we had an amazing top three. And they all did so well. They all performed so incredibly. I was so emotional. And it was just such an amazing night of drag. We had a sold out show. Everybody was there. Everybody was there to see us. And it was kind of just I feel like woke me up out of just kind of the like fog that you can get in with just producing shows and doing drag and being on a stage. It was very just like, oh, this is kind of surreal. Like, this is kind of crazy. There's like 120 people here coming to see like our show, and it was just incredible. It was such a fun night, and it's been just an amazing night ever since then. We do this every Tuesday, and I always say this. It's like every single time I host a show, I feel like I feel the most proud that I've ever felt ever. You know, I'm mm-hmm. continuously just like feeling that moment over and over again of just like, wow, this is surreal. This is kind of crazy. This is like everything I've always wanted. And I feel like it happens every single time I host a show. It's crazy. It's a really fun feeling. But
and then on the flip side, when have you felt the most challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite an anxious person, honestly. I have a lot of social anxiety, and being around people, like a lot of people, isn't always my favorite thing. So although like a lot of my shows are very fun, it's really taxing on me. It's very, very difficult. I get really like emotionally drained from like being on stage and being on the microphone and constantly having to have things to say. It's a lot. It's very fun and very exciting, but it's always challenging. It's never easy. It's never just a smooth journey. So I think just like trying to be able to find time for myself outside of that to kind of decompress is always like the hardest part. Because I feel like I just, a lot of times I keep myself in it too much and I put too much pressure on myself. So it's always hard. It's always difficult. But it's, at the end of the day, it's like, well, you know, this is my job and like my job is to be on and to make sure these people have a good time. So it's very difficult. It's like, mm-hmm. You have to be on, but it's also, would be nice to just be in bed right now.
I can totally relate to that sentiment though, because I think when people meet me as well, I'm naturally outgoing and pretty social, but they don't know that I also experience social anxiety. And I think, you know, even hearing you say that, I don't think I would have expected that, or I don't think other people would expect that you are going through that or that you struggle with that. But it just goes to show that sometimes, and it's not necessarily being inauthentic, right? It's just saying that there is a capacity of how much energy, right, that you can like put out into the world for others to receive. I always say that like my energy is so sacred, and I would, you know, I try to be really cautious of how I utilize that, but I do definitely carve out time to recharge and reset. And I'm sure that's what you do as well, because I haven't seen you perform, but I will soon. But I'm sure when you perform, you are like giving it your absolute, you know, 1,000%. And
I put my body through a lot. Sorry, do you want to finish what you were saying?
No, go ahead.
I put my body through a lot. I put my just energy and everything through a lot. I have a lot of bruises. My friend Chase, who I host shows with, she always makes a comment that just like, she says, oh, I always feel very like motherly towards Lucia, because after every time she performs, I just have to like wonder if she's physically okay. I'm a fan of like throwing myself off a stage and like doing splits and all of those. But just back to the point of just kind of having to recharge, it's difficult when you don't have a certain time where you can clock in and clock out. And I think a lot of artists and performers go through a similar feeling of just like not really knowing how and when to take time for yourself, because it's like our work time is when we want it to be. So it's like, for me, it's like, I don't know how to stop working sometimes. I don't know how to not, like how to relax for a second. So it's just kind of a constant battle with myself, just knowing when to just kind of turn off, you know?
Mm-hmm. And right now, I feel like a lot of people have a specific idea of, you know, their goals and what they envision their life is going to be in like 5 years. But for you, what does success mean to you? Like, do you have like a specific moment where you think, if I, you know, achieve X, Y, and Z, I will feel successful? Do you feel successful now?
Well, I always used to think that like in drag, that like you have to get on a certain television show for you to like make it as a performer. And since I've been doing drag professionally and I've been around a lot of people who have been on that television show, it's you don't need that. You don't need to be on a reality show. You don't need to do any of those things that like people think will make you a famous performer. It's, drag was never meant to be mainstream. Drag was never meant to be on television. Drag is like in bars performing for people at 2 a.m. while you're intoxicated. Like, that is the job. And it's only recently that like it's become so mainstream. So for me, success is just feeling happy and feeling proud of my work. And I always just feel so happy. Like, when I'm able to just connect with an audience, you know, like that's success for me. I could care less about the amount of money that I make at the end of the night. It's, as long as I'm able to connect with somebody or make an audience happy, or if I'm happy with what I did with the night, that's mm-hmm. success. I don't need anything else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love hearing that because it really is that feeling, right? And everybody's definitions and feelings of what success means or happiness feels like is very different. And it also depends on your lifestyle. So thank you for sharing that. But I also want to shift gears a little bit now that we've got your background and overview of what you do and who you are. I would love to get to the juicy part because this is what I'm really here for. And yeah. I'm sure the audience is as well. So
you gotta be very careful here.
I know.
Spill
but
the tea.
Is there any drama in the New York drag industry, drag queen industry? When I think of drag, I've been to shows before. I freaking love it. I think the only other thing that is very similar I love Broadway as well. Like I love watching Broadway shows, and in a way it is a performance. But what happens behind the scenes? Like, do you get along with everybody?
Well, I mean, as I said before, I usually don't like people. So it's like, if you get on my bad side right away, it's mm-hmm. like you're a goner. There's not many times, but just like the only real drama I have with people is I try not to create drama, but it's like, we were just in a pandemic and things have been so crazy, and like drag really didn't exist in bars during mm-hmm. that time because our whole thing is like being in audience. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of performers just like will not perform unless you pay them a certain amount, and it doesn't matter I don't know. It's so stupid. It's just like, okay, we can give you a space. These performers are just like, oh, I missed the stage. I missed performing. But like, they're like, oh, but I can only perform for this amount. I'm just like, what is the tea? We're giving you an opportunity. We're giving you like a mm-hmm. place to perform, but people just won't do it. And my other drama is just like, some people just don't show up to shows. You know,
oh my
some people
God,
just will
really?
Not show up. Like I've booked people before and they just like will not show up. And it's like, what else is going on right now that you just like, you can't be where you need to be. It's
unprofessional.
It's so unprofessional. I'm always there an hour early. Mm-hmm. And then some people are just like, oh, I'll come if I feel right. If it feels right. It's like, no, this is a job. This is like, you're like, this is where you're clocking in. This is where you have to be. You have one thing to do. Where'd you go?
Mm-hmm. No, but it's kind of interesting that you mentioned, you know, this type of drama, because I think in a larger scale, it speaks volumes to certain characteristics and like traits that will truly allow people to succeed. I always feel like, you know, everybody's capable of creating their own reality, right? Of manifesting their dreams, of becoming who they really want to be. But it really is like the habits and the actions that you take. So for example, like the people who want to be paid, of course, I understand, like there's certain circumstances, we don't know. But I think in the general sense, sometimes like you mentioned, when you are given an opportunity, just to embrace it and to take it receive it and not necessarily have to be like greedy or ask, because I feel like when you go into certain situations or doors that are being presented to you without expectations, that's when the beautiful things start to happen, like behind the scenes. At least for me, that's like the mindset that I usually have whenever you go in just again without expectations. And then the second thing is when you do have an opportunity to show up 100%, just because that first impression goes such a long way. And you never know, like the people that you meet, the contacts or anything down the road they can provide. I think it's so important to like show up your best version every single day.
Totally. I have to be very careful with what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I get it. No, I don't think you said anything wrong. I think that's why I was trying to digest what you were saying to bring it more to like life lessons as well, right? Like, I think a lot of people can relate to that.
I just think that like sometimes like because like it is your like for a lot of people like this is how they pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of times it's like if they can't expect a certain amount they won't perform, but also it's a platform to perform and most people haven't performed in over a year. At
mm-hmm.
like some point it's just like what are your priorities? If I was given an opportunity to perform at like anywhere, I will do it. I'll do it for $0. I don't care. But most people, like, it takes them out of just the art of what drag
mm-hmm.
is. And it just, it's such an interesting change of mindset from what, like, drag used to be. Like, you didn't do drag to be a millionaire. You didn't do drag to, like, be successful, I guess. It's just, you did drag because you love the art. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times I don't see that spark in, like, some people, you know?
But I think that's what makes you so unique because you, like hearing you speak about drag, obviously you're passionate about it, but I feel like you really know what your why is. And I think that's so, so important because sometimes when you start to like get all the fancy things and you start to like, when everything starts to happen for you and money starts to show up, people tend to then forget why they started in the first place. And
yeah.
all these external forces have such an ability to kind of cloud that passion, right? And like that's like, I don't know, I feel like that's so sad sometimes. So
people lose sight of like what their like goals were.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like since it's become mainstream, people are going towards this like idea of just like trying to, like, everybody is trying to be a celebrity, and everybody
mm-hmm.
is trying to do this, and it's all about status, and it's so interesting, because I mean, I'm of this younger generation where it's, like, this TV show has been around my entire life, pretty much, or, like, my entire being of being a drag, but it's, like, I still do it for the art. I'm not trying to do it to be a celebrity. That's not the goal, though. It's never the goal. You know, like, these famous drag queens that we know, like, didn't go out starting, like, Jackie B and, like, Sherry Vine, like, they didn't go out to perform to, like, be celebrities. They did it because that's their art, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that you obviously appreciate the art. And I think a lot of people forget that drag is an art, you know? So, no, it's so beautiful to hear just the way you see the industry for what it is. And it's like beyond just a quote unquote full-time job.
Totally.
So yeah. Okay. So my podcast is called The City Confessions. And just to give you a little bit of background, I started this podcast because I was so intrigued by the diverse people that I was meeting on a daily basis in New York, more so, you know, pre-pandemic. But yeah, I was just very intrigued and I was like, wow, everybody is so interesting. And how cool would it be to create a platform where I can, you know, have guests share their stories and share their truths. But I wanted to make it a little, you know, fun because why not? And so as we close out the podcast, I would love to ask you if you can share a city confession. What would that be? And I want to preface this by saying that it can be serious or it can be something lighthearted. It's however you receive this question. So, Lucia, if you can share a city confession, what would that be?
So
I think some people, some people get stumped when I ask this, but I feel
I'm
like
a little stumped. That's
yeah,
so,
no,
that's
totally
so broad.
I think some questions that might get you thinking are like, what are some? I mean, you touched a little bit on this, so it can you know, you can elaborate, but like, what are some misconceptions you think people have of you? What is one thing you wish people knew about you? What are some things that you feel like people you know, either judge you off the bat and you wish they didn't, or like certain secrets, not, you know,
right.
secrets that you have, like Things like that.
Don't lose sight of what you're doing. Don't lose sight, like, don't forget the end goal of what you're doing. Have that be like being an artist, performer, or working a job. It's so easy to get wrapped up in what's not important and like materialistic things. And just don't forget the reason why you got into it in the first place. Remember, like, who, like, younger you, and how excited you were to like be done with school and to like start and to like be in a job and to do what you want to do. Like, don't forget what that, like, your younger self wanted to, you like, for yourself as an adult. Like, as I was saying, like, a lot of entertainers lose sight of why they started performing, and it's so easy to just forget the end goal. So my city confession is to just like don't get like don't get too
Caught up in
just
all the,
yeah
yeah.
just do what you love.
Do
Do what you
you?
love, and do it because you love it, not because it's like it's gonna get you to where you think you need to be. Just as long as you're enjoying every single part of the journey of what you're doing, that'll be the most like rewarding for you. If you're constantly like chasing an idea of something in your career that you want to have happen, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied if you keep trying to chase down this dream of like being famous or being a millionaire or doing this. Just do it because you love it. And like, don't ever do anything other than that. Like, just do your art, do your job, be the best version of yourself that you can be. Because it's so easy, and that's the most rewarding way to live your life, is to be your most authentic self, you know?
Yeah, I actually love that you answered the question almost with an advice, which is so beautiful because I feel like people listening can take away with, okay, like what did I get out of this podcast, right? Like, what did I get out of this episode aside from hearing your story? And it's a different take. Like, most people talk about themselves, which is fine, but I feel like your confession stemmed from your experiences and observations in your own life, you know, working in the industry. So, yeah, it's really interesting. This is why I love doing this, because I feel like people, I never know what to expect, and people always surprise me with their answers. And yeah, so that was awesome. I want to take a moment right now to just send my gratitude to you. You mentioned how, you know, your schedule is kind of crazy, and any time that you probably have to yourself should definitely be put into whatever is going to serve you. And that for me usually is, you know, time to either work on your arts, to, I don't know, self-care, to relax. But the fact that you were able to be present with me in the last 35 minutes means the world to me. I don't think I don't try to take anybody's time for granted. So I do want to just send my gratitude to
Yeah,
you.
thank you so much for having me. It's really an incredible podcast. You are like in 100+ episodes already, which is crazy, and it's so fun to be on here and to tell a story from just a perspective of a native New Yorker. You know, it's such an interesting perspective, and it's always so different. I love meeting people from New York because everybody has a different story. And I'm glad. Thank you for giving me a place and a platform to be able to kind of express or just tell you my story of what it's like being a drag queen. And it's fucking hard.
No, absolutely. And this is your chance to plug away. So this episode's going live in June 22nd, I believe. So keep that in mind in terms of timing.
Cool.
But what can you reveal to the listeners? Where can they find you? I'm going to leave all of your like handles and links in the description. But do you have anything on the horizon you can share in July and ongoing?
Yeah, so on Tuesday nights, I am at Now and Then in Bushwick. I'm hosting a drag competition called the Fabulous Mixed Metal. We are going to be on this season through July. So if you guys are in the Bushwick area, come on out. On Fridays, I host a show called Rainbow. It is a drag show for people who exist. And we are there at Our Wicked Lady on Fridays, but we are going to be moving it to Thursdays because we will be doing a Drag Race All-Stars viewing party. And on Saturdays and Sundays, I work with a company called Drag Diva Brunch. On Saturdays, I'm at City Winery. And then I think once a month on Sundays, I will be at Hard Rock Cafe. And yeah, if you're in the New York area and you want to come see some stupidity, come on out and give me your money.
Oh my God, I love you. That was the perfect way to end this episode. So thank you again for being on. And for everybody listening, thank you for tuning in. I will leave all of Lucia's fabulous information in the description. So be sure to check it out. Also, your Instagram is fire. Like, literally fire. I can't even. Like, when I went on it, I was like, wow. My mind was just like, it was giving me so much life. So definitely check that Instagram out in the link below. And with that being said, I hope you all have a fabulous day and stay tuned for next week's episode. All right, bye.
Bye.